You are listening to an entertainment program put together by a company called Financial Ineptitude. Anything said on this show is not an endorsement or professional advice. Would you really want to tell a court of law you were suing us because you thought taking financial advice from two idiots on a podcast put out by Financial Ineptitude was a good idea? Really? Clown hat, smiley face.
Financial Ineptitude presents Two Bulls in a China Shop. You can find our podcast at twobullsinachinashop.com or just search Two Bulls in a China Shop wherever you stream your podcasts. Well, hello and welcome back to the China Shop, everyone. We're dusting off the windowsills and watering the dead plants back in the shop. I'm shopkeeper Dan. With me, as always, is Kyle, creator of financialineptitude.com. How you doing today, Kyle?
I'm doing all right. I had a trying week, but, you know, we'll definitely get into that.
Trying times, as they say.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, come on with us into the shop today, folks. Rage against the stock market machine. You can also sit back and relax if you're fans of consistency. We'd love to welcome any new listeners just joining us.
You could just, you know, calmly enjoy the show if you'd like. There's no need to get crazy.
But, you know, you are allowed to get crazy. Like, crank it up.
Yes.
We don't care. Go with it. Lean into it. If you're new here, we're just here fucking around, you know, talking about stock markets, but, you know, not trying to get too professional at all, not trying to make this our jobs.
Oh, yeah, we are. Not doing good at it. Just not getting there, though. Baby steps.
Yes. And that's what we're all doing here, is we are giving an honest report of what we're trying, what we're doing. What works and what doesn't work. Mm-hmm. You might say maximizing gains and minimizing losses. If you are new to the shop and stock trading in general, you can always check out the Knowledge Center on financialineptitude.com, or you can give one of our beginning trading episodes a listen. We'll have all those links in the episode description. The best place to be is come hang out on our Discord server. Kyle and I get on there with a lot of great folks every day. It's just a really awesome place to be.
That's great. It's growing. It's growing, too.
Yeah, right?
The interaction's been amazing. Yeah.
Yeah, good stuff. We're starting a book club soon.
I was going to bring that up in show news.
Okay. All right. Never mind. Right. Cut it.
I was wondering if we should start a channel for that.
Okay. We should. yeah. When folks join the Discord server and they send us a private message with their email, with their mailing address, you know, or an email, what do they win? What, we got prizes? No, we're out of merch. Damn it. Make me a liar.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
You get nothing but the enjoyment of a Discord server.
No, we still got some mugs, shot glasses, beer koozies, you know, your choice. Just send us an address to ship it to. If you're in Canada, please give us a home address and not a P.O. box so it doesn't get returned.
Damn Canadian postal workers. Oh, no. I love you, Canada. I'm just kidding.
Yes. And postal workers.
Yes.
Who else is going to deliver my sweet, sweet Amazon stuff?
Oh, the Amazon drivers do that now.
I know.
We've got a good-natured, gregarious, and grandiose show for you today, folks. Lots of market-moving news, plenty of stocks on the radar, and more options than excuses for a kid forgetting his homework.
More options than procrastination.
And we do love it when you reach out to us, whether it's the Discord or even Twitter, Facebook. If you're old school, you can send us an email, twobulls@financialineptitude.com, or you can shoot us a phone call, 725-22-BULLS. Maybe you got a hot stock tip. Maybe you want to tell us about a great trade you just made, or maybe you agreed to let the butcher marry your daughter, but then you find out she's in love with the tailor. It doesn't matter. We love it when you reach out.
Watching Hunger Games?
Yeah, Fiddler on the Roof.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It's a potato.
oh, hold on. I had a potato. Unless you're the Tevye at the end of that movie. No, there's a great quote from that film, and I'm going to forever quote it. It's like, I realize there's no shame in being poor, but it's no great honor either.
That's a good quote. All right, show news?
Yes! Let's do some show news.
All right. Well, we have an interview with Jared Bibler, author of Iceland's Secret, that will be coming out next week.
So good.
Yeah, there was no rust in the interview portion.
No.
Make sure you tune into that one.
All gold.
We've got James Falk the week after. The week of the 17th, we'll be attending the Trade Pro Boot Camp.
Yes.
So I'm not sure if we'll have a bonus the week after that or not. Let to see if maybe we can work out some kind of special.
Just going to be us talking about the boot camp.
That's kind of what I was thinking. I was thinking maybe we should try and do a recap. And I don't want to put anybody on the spot, so we'll just we'll leave it there.
Okay.
But yeah, look for something along those lines.
Sounds good to me.
And I think that's pretty much it.
All right, starting off fresh, starting off as scholars, gonna learn us some knowledge.
Please.
All right, should we talk about the bet?
Yeah, I was for sure that Random snuck out a victory.
Yeah.
You had HPQ, got stopped out, finished with...
Shorted HPQ, by the way.
Yeah, you had 477.99, is that right?
Yep. 477.99.
Random had VIOT that ended up closing at, I don't even need to know that. Basically, Random ended up with a 510.78. I had the 3X SPY bull shares, finished with 518.24. So by $8, I managed to come from last place into first.
Damn. Well done, sir.
So, ending the year strong.
Well,
and since we didn't do a month-end review because we only worked half the month, we'll just go ahead and do the consequences at the end of this episode. How does that sound?
Well, I mean, if we got to do them,
you do.
God damn it!
remember when it wasn't? Remember then when it was the other way?
The other way? I do, and yeah. 2022 is my year to get back to that for sure.
All right. I'm rooting for you, Dan.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
It's really hard thinking of consequences all the time.
It is. It is. Yeah, I'm sure.
I should just ask to see your list. I bet you have like a whole journal full of them.
It's the only thing I've ever written in my journal.
Oh.
Oh, Kyle, I got coal in my stocking this year because I didn't record those new tunes. I've been doing other stuff.
Oh, I couldn't find the lyrics. They got, I don't know what happened to our...
Yeah, we had a sheet where we were writing.
The vial that had them. Yeah. Fuck. Probably buried in the Discord.
Oh, well, it's time for the news.
Well, we all know why we're listening today. The shop is bursting with the week to replay. So sit back, we got some market affairs. Get some stories for the bulls and the bears. Clowns running companies, laws change overnight. Here we are, it's time for China Shop News. Yeah, now, it's time for China Shop News.
All right.
I still really like that one.
Oh, it's a good groove.
Yeah, it is.
So I think the Fed said something this week.
Yeah, they've not been very kind to the markets lately. We have like three stories that kind of tie into this, so might as well just get to the meat of it. I mean, the basic gist of it was that the market's now pricing in like a 2-to-1 chance of the first rate hike coming in March now.
Mm-hmm.
Traders figuring that the next increase come June or July, followed by a third move in November, December. Like, so now we went from like no rate hikes coming to possibly getting three this year.
One part of the article, one of the articles I read said they're also pricing in a 50-50 chance for a fourth hike.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, God damn. Yeah, this is going to be a rough year.
Yeah.
They also announced that they're going to be speeding up the tapering pace of the monthly bond buying program. So the new program, under the new plan, the program should be ending around March, to which point it free up the committee to start hiking rates.
And on top of that,
So
they've been buying $120 billion a month for a long time. What are they going to do with all those assets they bought, Kyle?
That's what I was trying to figure out.
They're gonna hold them forever, right? They're never gonna sell those.
Yeah. Do they announce a plan for that yet, or are they just they're just trying to get to the point where they're gonna start hiking interest rates?
It was my understanding that's the triple threat, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is they're gonna raise rates, they're gonna taper assets, but they're also setting up a balance sheet reduction at the same time. It's now what God, we're concerned man. About
that's
all at once.
That sounds rough.
You know what a big imbalance of switching from buying to selling that is going to be due to the market? Like, we've had this steady group of buyers who are now going to become a steady group of sellers,
right? And they have a lot to sell.
They have so many
a lot to sell.
Over $1 trillion a year. And when did George say they start doing this? Like 2013?
I think it was actually 2008.
2008.
It was during that first collapse.
So we're talking trillions.
Talking over 10 years worth of hand over fist buying, yeah.
If I look at the graph, we're at, they've got just under $9 trillion worth of assets they purchased. Because they have sold some off before. Like, it hasn't been only buying.
Yeah, I think that was when Trump went and, like, bitch slapped Powell.
Yeah, you can see the curve around $5 trillion. and then right towards the end of 2020, like, there's a big, big revert back up to up.
Yep.
Yeah. What are you doing? Prop up these markets.
That was your bit about the triple threat?
Yeah, just that they're going to start selling off these assets. There's no other way to do it. They've accumulated too many.
I did find something else that said that maybe the Fed is just all talk. Some veteran strategist. I don't know who his name is.
People are saying.
I feel like his name should be David Rosenberg, chief economist.
There we go.
Chief economist and strategist at Rosenberg Research and the former chief of North American economist at Merrill Lynch. Doesn't buy it at all. He says one should be skeptical of the Fed's forecast given the poor track record, even though investors treat them as gospel. Dating back to 2012, the Fed's forecast on rates have been correct 37% of the time, accurate on core inflation 29% of the time, accurate on unemployment 24% of the time, and accurate on real gross GDP growth 17% of the time. And the Fed tends to be too bullish on growth. So basically what he's saying is that they say in the stock market to never bet against the Fed, but the bond market, he says you can definitely, it's definitely perfectly safe to say you can bet against the Fed's forecasting ability, especially when it comes to the one thing the Fed can actually control, which is the policy rate. There's absolutely no impetus to domestic demand growth going forward, yet the Fed continues to play the role of the economic cheerleader. If the Fed were to hike 1.75% next year, that would mean the possibility of a 20% decline in home values and a 30% slide in equities. And he just doesn't think that they're going to take that kind of a risk.
Well, at some point they have to, right?
At some point they do, but I mean, we're getting to the point here where Biden's going to start thinking, I mean, he's running for re-election, right?
I would assume so.
I mean, he said he wants to. I mean, you can't just tank the market going into an election. I mean, I guess he's got, what, a year before he really starts running and campaigning? If you tank everyone's home values by 20% and then turn around and say, vote for me again, nobody's going to vote for you.
Yeah. Well, is that a criticism of democracy, Kyle?
Yeah.
No, it's true. It's true. That's not even a jab at any party. That's what a leader's going to do. Who's going to get elected?
Right. Yeah. No, you do that shit on your last term. That's when you start doing that stuff. When you don't have to worry about running again.
Right. Because it needs to happen. Like, for the health of the overall economy, like, the Fed has to unload this balance sheet. Or hey, we want to nationalize everything. Fed already owns it.
God damn.
The crazy thing is balance sheet unwinding. The last one was from 2017 to 2019. They were unwinding about $10 billion a month.
Mm-hmm.
Increased another $10 billion quarterly till they reached just about $50 billion. In those 2 years, they trimmed off $600 billion, 5 months of buying.
Mm-hmm. Just wiped it all out.
It took 2 years to wipe off $600 billion without spooking the market, and now we're approaching $9 trillion. So
yeah,
it's gotta fucking happen. But they tend not to unwind it while raising interest rates. So we'll see. I think you may be right. Like that guy saying. Like, are they really going to do this? Is Biden really going to do this?
They can't do everything at once. I just can't imagine that actually happening. But it doesn't matter. They said they're going to, and that's what people react to.
I guess what would the potential possibility be? Like, maybe now is the perfect time to tank it, bring it down, and then in a year, switch around.
Yeah, then amend your plan, get everybody all excited. Yeah.
Yeah, and start to bring it. So, like, going into the election, things are getting better. I don't know.
Maybe.
I don't know. We'll see.
That's a long game, though.
It is.
I can't think that far ahead.
Since we're speaking about government policy, I wanted to mention a crazy thing that's happened over in the country of Turkey.
Mm-hmm.
So they announced today that what they did in December regarding the value of the lira. They cited unhealthy, quote marks, unhealthy price formations, and the central bank directly intervened five times in December to prop up the lira.
Uh-huh.
And in fact, the week through December 24th, after the President Erdogan and the central bank announced all this stuff, they saw a historic 50% surge in the currency's value in a week.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a really short story. And I was like wait, there's got to be more to this. Like, what exactly are they doing?
Ties the value of special new deposits to the dollar by promising to compensate for losses incurred from swings in the exchange rate.
Yeah, the government is insuring the lira, right? But my question was how. So I loaded up another article. There's a link in the Discord from dailysabah.com, written by Daily Sabah with agencies in Istanbul. to quote the article, the government has argued that the surge in exchange rates ignored Turkey's strong economic fundamentals and blamed high prices on hoarders and global factors. The benefits of Turkey's new approach will become clear in the next 3 to 6 months, according to Erdogan. Investors will be encouraged to move towards Turkish lira-based assets by the issuance of government bills that are indexed to public economic enterprise revenues that are transferred to the budget, he explained. So let me read that again real quick. Investors will be encouraged to move towards Turkish lira-based assets by the issuance of government bills that are indexed to public economic enterprise revenues that are transferred to the budget. After reading all this, it's like they're tying it to like baskets of foreign securities. I don't know. It seems pretty shifty to me.
I don't know if my brain's just too foggy right now or because... A currency going up 50% is just insanity in general, isn't it?
Yeah. It was. So, you know, businesses were abandoning the Turkish lira, lowering its value because there's no demand for it. They didn't want it. And then, like, within a week, everybody wanted it again.
Well, it sounds like the government is paying people to buy it.
Yeah.
Or to use it. They're indexed to public economic enterprise revenues that are transferred to the budget that...
He explained. It should not say he explained. It should say he confused.
He confused. Turkey would no longer be a country dependent on imports.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm not sure how you figure that out.
Shows you what a strong man leader can do, Kyle.
Yeah. No elaboration on how the government's going to fund this expensive inflationary initiative.
How are we going to pay for it?
Don't worry about that, guy.
Come on, guy. We're busting my balls here.
Hey, and while we're at it, let's increase a 50% increase the minimum wage.
Yeah. Although that is later in the article. Uh-huh.
Yep. Wow. Okay. I don't think I'll be purchasing anything based in Turkey.
Now, I hope this isn't too inflammatory, but when I worked hotels, there were a string of Air Force guys from Turkey that came out to do training. They were all out smoking cigarettes with me. One of them, they were just joking around. One of them said, no, don't. The saying in Turkey is, if you don't think, you know, Erdogan, he's going to find a way to fuck you. like one of them said it in Turkish and they all laughed and I was like, what was the joke? And that was his loose translation, is like, he's basically saying Erdogan finds a way to fuck, and meaning he'll fuck you over one way or the other.
Yeah.
Like, you think you're getting something, but you're losing something too. Anyway, take that, Turkey.
Oh, you just alienated a whole class of listeners, Dad.
I did.
Start the year off strong, aren't we?
Well, I thought maybe some beef would be good for business.
Start beef with Turkey? All right. We have any or general news stories? Because I'm out.
No. Let's move on. Hey, Kyle, right now, I just really, really got the feeling that I need to talk about a woman that is near and dear to my heart.
Did she make her payment for this year?
Oh, I don't know about that. You would know more than me.
I don't know if she has either. We'll just trust her. How about that?
We'll trust her? Okay. Okay.
Yeah, we'll trust her.
All right. I'll be checking my mailbox for the check. Two Bulls in a China Shop is brought to you by Sue Pullen at Fairway Independent Mortgage and Equal Housing Lender. Sue Pullen is the best certified mortgage advisor I've ever met. who focuses on finding the right product for you and your need.
How many of you have you met?
I have met at least 5 in my life.
All right. Top 20%. Way to go, Sue.
She's the top 100%. She's number one. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
She just represents 20% of total mortgage advisors I've met in my lifetime. She's helped thousands of homeowners, whether it's purchasing, refinancing, or even reverse mortgages. Sue will help. She's licensed in 27 states. So reach out and see what Sue can do for you. Best way to reach her is just give her a call, 520-977-7904. Or you can send her an email, SPULLEN@fairwaymc.com. Fairway Independent Mortgage has an MLS number, 2289. Sue Pullen has an MLS number, 206048. That email again is spullen@fairwaymc.com. And that phone number is 520-977-7904.
And Two Bulls in a China Shop is also proud to be affiliated with the Trade Pro Academy.
Trade Pro!
Trade Pro Academy is an educational platform that offers institutional trader development programs to new and experienced independent traders. I need to rewrite this because I keep twisting my tongue every time I read it. They've got a great staff, highly knowledgeable, successful traders. There's no better place we've found to learn everything you need to know to be a successful trader. You can find them online at tradeproacademy.com, or you can use our affiliate link in the episode description. Or you can join our Discord and still get that juicy 10%
That secret discount.
We are the only ones that have access to. And you know what? I actually figured out that technically it's not really a discount for on George's end. So he's still technically correct when he says he does not give out discounts. We just reduced our cut by 10% so that way we can give it to the listeners.
Great. Now you let them all know.
What, that we're looking out for them?
Yeah.
That we're not in it for the money?
Yeah.
Well, I feel like they should know that.
I guess we want people to know our secrets. I just like knowing something that we didn't share with the listeners. Got to be open and honest about everything, Kyle. God,
everything.
It's bad enough I told them all I blew out an account. Oh wait,
No, you haven't done that yet.
It's going to make so much sense when I edit this back into the middle.
Oh, God damn it. Yeah, if you jump into, or if you check out that Trade Pros website, there's still time to sign up for the boot camp, I believe.
Oh, yeah.
I think the cost was something like ridiculously low at like $300 or $400 for a 5-day course. So there's insane value in that right there.
Yeah, right.
You could blow out 10 futures accounts for the cost of one boot camp session with those guys.
right. Oh yeah, if you want to talk about like just losses in futures, like, yeah, I could have paid for this several times over.
Oh yes.
Anyway, you ready to talk about some stocks, Kyle?
I guess.
All right.
Just put those stock tickers on the list. Go through the charts so nothing gets missed. Today's trades, they could all turn to gold. I'm playing stocks till I'm out of the hole.
Okay.
Oh, we are so on the wrong page.
Yep. We're in sync. We're really in sync today.
All right. We'll fake it till we make it.
Can we talk about Pepe Silva? I've been dying to talk about Pepe Silva.
Is podcasting like getting your period? Like, will we eventually sync up if we just keep doing it?
Yeah, but it turns out that's just statistics. Nothing biological about it.
Oh. Really? Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Everybody's period starts and is a different space apart. So just if you work with or around somebody long enough, eventually it'll happen where it's at the same time. And then you're like, oh, look, we're synchronized. But if they were to keep tracking it, they then get off sync and then back into sync and then off sync. That because of just the nature of cycles and patterns. All right. That's talking stocks, right?
All right, God. Dan, let's talk about Ford.
Oh, yeah. Shit. I wish I had been working through the end of Christmas. I wasn't paying attention to any stocks or doing nothing.
Ford has been on a tear. What did it close at today?
$24.44.
Did they have their earnings that just come out, or was it just a report on their sales?
Their earnings is January 24th, according to TradingView. So it just must have just been a sales report.
So their inventory jumped up 22,000 from November, which is impressive because of the semiconductor shortage. We talked about them before because they were getting into the semiconductor business, but I doubt they've already started doing that yet. The sales for the year has fallen by 6.8% from the previous year, but the fourth quarter was up 27% from the previous. They sold over 500,000 vehicles. And I believe there was also some news about their EV truck that was doing really well as far as the orders go in on that.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I think I saw something saying that like they're looking at double the orders. So yeah, the stock has been, I think it's at like a 2-decade high right now. Last time it was this high was in 2001.
We had that that box we were watching, Ford, in that consolidation since November, if you recall, because we've talked about Ford before.
Yes, we were watching that. Yep.
If you recall, we had a $19 bottom, $20.80, right? And I stopped watching for, you know, just a couple of weeks.
Just a few days, and then it broke out.
It broke hard, too.
Yeah.
Like December 31st opened at $20.44. January 4th, it closed $24.31. So that's like almost 20%, guys. It's wow.
I mean, I don't see a strong resistance until it gets to 31.5, going back to that peak in, you know, the 2000 or just before 2000, 98 to 2000.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Pull out to the monthly candles.
Other thing you have to be careful with, when something shoots up that fast, it doesn't leave behind a whole lot of support for it.
Mm-hmm.
In case you know, things start to turn around, so it could fall through those levels pretty quickly. So
if I'm looking at these monthly candles like I was looking at a futures chart,
mm-hmm.
I would put 26 is tempting, but I really like 27.75, 28. I put a level there
On the monthly.
Yeah, looking at the monthly candles.
Trying to see. Yeah, I could see one there. Here's something interesting, though. What's the day today? Today's the 7th.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been a week of trading, and we've already got half the volume this month that we've seen in the previous months.
Yeah. Things very bullish for Ford. Man, I really wish I'd joined everybody back in September when it was 13.
Trying to see where a good spot to try to jump in would be. Probably somewhere around 21. Like you said, 21, 2180.
Oh, yeah, that previous top.
Yeah.
It's coming. You know, there's a reason this is the resistance level, looking back to where it was and mm-hmm. back in 2001. That's crazy. 2001. Jeez, please.
Ford doing quite well. What do you got as far as stock news?
It's funny because I didn't like the ones I loaded up the charts for. I don't have news.
Nope.
I'm the one that spotted the or brought up, I guess, the GameStop rising and extended trading Thursday. I got to pull up to see how they did Friday. Yeah, GameStop's around 140. They've announced that they are creating a marketplace, officially announced creating a marketplace for NFTs.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea being that not only will they have a marketplace to exchange them, but that they're partnering with games themselves to purchase for virtual video game goods to sell those.
Okay, that's kind of cool. There's a lot of excitement with that when that announcement came out, but man, it got rejected hard off of 160 looking at this chart.
The reason I brought it up was because of Ross Klein and our conversations with him and what you would want to see in a turnaround story.
Yes. And that GameStop does check a lot of those boxes, yeah. You got new leadership.
And right. And this kind of announcement from new leadership, definitely. I mean, I wanna say I'm bullish on GME. I think you've been right as like a long term turnaround play. Like, I'm really starting to see it come together.
Mm-hmm. But man, they gotta get past that 160 level again, though. That's looking that sell off was, there's a lot of volume on it and it hit hard.
Right. The question is what's the fair valuation for this new company going to be?
Right.
And right now, 160 is not it. Looking at that daily chart. people say, yes, that company's worth something and it's not 160. Anyway, that's when the sellers showed up.
I will say, though, if it pops above that, man, look out. The thing could run up. There's a lot of volume traded between 220 and, what was that, 170.
Where are my TPO charts at? No, yeah, you're right. There's a lot of volume up there. But most of the volume still, when you zoom out, is at $10. So,
yes, that is correct.
Yeah. So GameStop, I'm eager to see what will become of its price as its new businesses come to fruition, because they start making a ton of money. That stock is going up. $140 will be too cheap.
Well, that's one thing I always liked about the company before the transition, is that they were a revenue generating machine, and they had a very easy to, the way their system was set up, it was very easy to close out underperforming stores. I mean, they were bringing in, you know, over $1 billion in revenue a quarter, I believe. Like, that's got to be worth more than, you know, $10 a share.
Yeah.
Especially when there's so few shares outstanding, like that market capitalization was tiny compared to what they were doing.
A stock that I wanted to talk about that isn't in the news.
Yeah.
Springing this one on you fresh, Kyle. You're going to have to load up the chart. Albertsons Companies, ACI.
Ooh, they've got earnings coming up too.
Do they? It's not listed on trading.
Yeah. Yeah, they got it done Monday, I think.
The reason, I've been watching them ever since they hit those new highs back in December, beginning of December and the end of November.
Mm-hmm.
And they had just like a horrible, their first week of December just took them from like 36.5 to 30.
That was, right? Like one day.
Yeah.
Dumped a lot of value.
Yeah. And I was looking for reasons to get long, and I did not stay long for very long.
I'm looking at it right now, and I think I want to be long looking at the daily.
That's why I bring it up. What got me excited about it is we are seeing shifts into value, right? We're seeing that order flow. We saw it last year. It's like seasonal.
Mm-hmm.
Kroger just hit a new all-time high today.
Okay. So a nice laggard play.
I looked at Albertsons and was like, oh, this is a catch-up play for sure.
I really like this idea.
It the $30 held as support. It had a good week. Today ended on not it was a sell day, but not such impressive volume. And the close was at like yesterday's close. Probably to the, yeah, yesterday closed 31.21. Today closed 31.21 to the penny.
Yeah.
To the penny.
And look at the that bounce off of, I got a support at 29.5 is where I drew mine at, that it's been bouncing off of. And then just look at the volume accumulating on that after the new year started. I mean, that is just, I'm almost double the volume from than what they were seeing leading up to the end of the year, which I guess kind of is expected, right? People took a lot of the time off, but still seeing that volume increase like that is a great sign.
I'm wondering if I should buy after hours shares right now.
I wouldn't fault you for it.
I really like that one. I wanted to bring up that chart for people because we do have a little bit of time, the listeners that get to it right away.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't give advice, but here's one I'm so excited about. There's no news, but I had to bring it up.
Do you have any other important levels to watch on this?
33.79. I don't remember why I marked that one specifically, but it's there.
Previous top, it looks like, roughly.
Oh, yeah. Previous top. Oh, yeah. I was bouncing the previous tops with those bottoms. I was kind of line of best fit there. And then I had the top at 36.50 is a level. It's popped up above it. That's when I first got excited and got long, popped up above it. And the next day, it popped really up above it, like 37.85. And I was like, woo, I'm going to buy the top. And then it just went shut down.
Well, and the good thing with it, too, is it's still following structure. You're still seeing higher highs and lower lows if this is the bottom here. As long as that 29.5, I think, holds, I'm liking this a lot.
Yeah, that's definitely the stop level for sure.
All right. Well, I have one to bring up too that we've talked about before. Kind of the same idea. I was liking the strength that Johnson & Johnson was showing. I was looking at that. That looked like that was making a push to challenge its all-time highs again. Another one that's in that kind of same field is Bristol Myers Squibb.
Yeah.
And I was looking at the way it is bouncing off of a level at like $63 right now. That looks like it's just getting ready to bust out of that. And I know I jumped the gun a little bit, but I did pick up a couple of cheap calls just on the off chance that, you know, that starts next week. But looking at the volume it was seeing today, looking at the strength and the other names in the same field, like, I'm kind of liking this one to try to bust out above that.
Yeah, I've got an option zone I drew at around $62 level. It's holding like gangbusters.
Mm-hmm.
I like it.
So this one, I think, is as long as it stays above, you know, 60, 80, somewhere around there.
Mm-hmm.
I like it. If it drops below that, then I probably cut my position. If it jumps up above, like I'm hoping, then I think you're targeting. I think your first target is about 64.5, and then your next one would be around 68.
I like those levels for sure.
That kind of wraps up what I've got. I didn't really feel like pulling too many up. I was looking at so many different stocks that, I mean, I was looking at Apple. We saw that Apple became the first $3 trillion.
They were the first $1 trillion company as well.
Yeah, I mean, their stock is looking pretty interesting too.
I'll give a shout out also to Chesapeake Energy Corporation, CHK, one of the ChangeBridge picks.
Oh, yeah.
They hit new all-time highs today.
Actually, let's look at Campbell Soup.
Campbell fucking soup. Or just Campbell Soup.
What's the stock ticker?
CPB.
CPB. This is one that user VRAN was looking at and liking a lot. I'd say he was fucking dead on the money, too.
Yeah, look at that rounded bottom.
Broke out above 44 quarter. I think he was targeting somewhere around 46, which looked like hit that today. So fucking nice job, VRAN.
Right. And look at the gap from June of last year.
Yep.
46 up to 48, 49.
He jumped in a little earlier. We were looking at it. I said I wanted to see it. I think this is about the level I wanted to see it surpass, right around 46. Well, I should probably pull up the actual messages.
Break and retest of right where it's at. So it just broke. I want to see it go up a little bit and retest it. That's going to be a sweet, sweet play.
I think that's the high probability play. But even if it comes back down and retests 44, I'd probably look at picking something up there too. But yeah, this guy can fill its gap. Ooh, pretty decent money on a stock that's typically not that volatile.
Yeah.
So the options should be pretty cheap on it.
40 is like a strong floor.
Yeah.
For this price right now.
Oh, shit. No, we're looking at 44 where I wanted to see it above before I went long. I wish I was continuing to watch that because it did exactly what I wanted it to do.
Yeah, on solid volume, too.
It tried two times to break out, then it finally did. Looks like you could have easily gotten it right around there. Hit our first target at 46, and that looks like it's, if we can keep that momentum up, yeah, looking at 48, 49.
Right, yeah, right now, if it pulled back and retested 44, 25,
mm-hmm.
I think that's the safe entry.
Yep.
You know, like you see the continuation before it. Down from 40, got up to 44, retested 42. Now it's onward and upward.
Yep.
Hey, Kyle, we got any earnings coming up?
We got Albertsons on the 10th. Actually, might be the 11th. CMC, Tilray, nothing really the next 2 days. On the 13th, we've got Taiwan Semiconductor Materials and Delta Airlines. Then we have the banks closing things off on Friday, JP Morgan, Wells Fargo, Citigroup.
Okay.
All right. Let's move on to crypto.
Look at the news. What do you see? The cult of cryptocurrency. I know you're greedy. I know you need. You need that Bitcoin, Ether, NFT. Cult of cryptocurrency.
The only news I came across, and it made me chuckle, so I wanted to share it. When we get out of the way real quick before we talk about something serious. January 4th, article on theblockcrypto.com. I'm sure the height of journalistic excellence. They did an article about a Goldman Sachs press release that Bitcoin is set to take further market share from gold, which says to me, Goldman Sachs bought Bitcoin, now wants you to buy it.
Right? I am becoming less and less convinced that Bitcoin is an inflation hedge.
Yeah.
Either that or it's just still too erratic. I don't know.
Even after Dr. Hans?
Yeah, even after. I mean, it's tanking too much when like all the things that, to me, like inflation is one of the main things that's causing the decline. Like you would think that Bitcoin would be stronger in this type of, you know, environment.
Right, not lose 11% last week.
Yeah, it dropped a shitload today, and I think today it fell below 42,000 for the first time since late September.
Yeah, it is at 41,786 as we speak.
I found a story that said they're tracing some of that to shutdowns in Kazakhstan.
With the price is dropping because mining is going down in Kazakhstan?
They didn't even say it was because of mining. They said shutdown in Kazakhstan.
What shutdown?
Anger and fuel. Deadly protests. Okay. It's because of the Omicron. Yeah, it is. It is due to the mining.
I thought when less people are mining it, the more the price goes up.
You would kind of think, right? Like, shouldn't that help with scarcity?
Right, because mining operations pay for their operations through selling Bitcoin. So they're constantly being sellers. Right. So the less of them there are, the less sellers there are, you'd think it goes up. But I think you're onto something. If it's dropping in times like these, what is happening?
So Kazakhstan apparently is like the second leading miner in crypto, trailing only the United States. So there's fuel shortages that led to massive instability in the nation, so much so that the president sacked the country's government and asked Russian paratroopers to help out. He also ordered the Kazakhstan telecom provider to stop internet service on Thursday. That sent about 15% of the world's Bitcoin miners offline.
Whoa.
The stuff that China was doing when they banned the cryptocurrency mining and transactions within its borders. Like, I saw another thing pop up that said that they went from like 62% of the share down to zero.
Zero. Wow.
Yeah. So I think that's why Kazakhstan is such a strong producer, or a big producer now, is because a lot of the operators in China moved to Kazakhstan in order to continue doing their,
deep mining,
crypto mining.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know, man. Like, we thought that the institutional investments, like people like Goldman Sachs buying it up, would lead to less of this.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
Maybe we spoke too soon.
I have a level drawn on my chart at 40,820. So, and mm-hmm. It tagged it this past week. It's come up off of it. But if that level doesn't hold, then, I mean, we don't got another big level below 31,000. I don't know, man. It could. I would say buy like crazy if 31,000 holds.
As long as this, 40,000 area holds, it's still structurally following a bullish structure.
Yeah, well, and then that next 31,000. But I remember talking to a friend about Bitcoin when I drew these levels, and I was like, I don't like buying it here, but I would love to buy it down here, 40,000 or 30,000.
I would love to hear if you talk to that person again.
If they're ready,
they're apologizing to you.
Oh, no, I don't think they did. I really wish my friend had taken my advice back.
Yeah, when you told him to sell,
I was like, at least sell a little bit.
Yeah, you can buy it again when it's lower.
You can always buy it again. Now I just need to take my own advice.
I know, right? Speaking of which,
is it what?
Draw.
Oh, you got me. God damn it. I tried so hard.
Oh, Dan, do you have any good, bad, or ugly stuff to talk about? I know you didn't really do a whole lot since we've been offline.
Well, I did want to mention, and I hope I don't take up too much of your time, dear listener. I totally blew out my futures account a week ago. Oof. Yeah. Oof. Yeah.
What happened? Yeah.
I over trading. I got obsessed with that new Dom stuff and just I wasn't following the process I was being successful at, and I just didn't follow good risk management. I broke all the rules.
I kind of followed a similar trajectory.
Yeah.
This past week, but at least had some good I could start off with.
Well, they were all related, and my good doesn't make sense unless that it blew out. So I dug into the books. I've been rewatching. I'm prepping for this boot camp. My good has been the things I've done in response. I haven't been depressed on myself, feeling like I'm a loser at all. Mm-hmm. I've been thinking, okay, this is what I do now. Like, this is what I do now. There's no like, oh, well, that didn't work out, go move on to something else. Like, no, this is it. So what did I do wrong? Like it's helped me. Like, I'm helping myself by digging in and looking at where I failed the process and how I can do better when I put some fresh capital in there.
And we chatted a little bit about ways to utilize the Dom strategy. And I really like what we came up with at using alerts to because you can't just stare at a Dom for too long. That was the same issue that I was finding. Mm-hmm. Like, the Dom can be very powerful when you see those turnarounds.
Yeah.
You can see the offers and bids pulling off of there in real time. And you're like, okay, this is the oh shit moment for sellers. Buy it here. They're running scared.
Mm-hmm.
But when you stare at it for, 3, 4, or 5 hours, you start just making shit up in your head because you just can't stare at something like that.
Yeah. Oh, look, I saw it.
Yeah.
Yeah. The idea is that we chart these levels in the big areas, and then can set an alert on the chart, like, oh, when it starts getting close to there, I like, you know, 3 or 4 points away, yeah, maybe 5 points away, give me an alert. So then I can start watching.
Now we'll look at it.
Yeah.
That way we're not staring at it all day long and then getting in our own heads. Uh-huh. We can still maintain some of that trading discipline. So I really like the idea that we came up with. Now the idea is to test it out and see how well it works.
Yep.
My good was just basically the end of 21, the start of 22. Like up till Wednesday, I was doing phenomenal.
Mm.
Like I felt like everything was finally coming together.
I did it.
And then Wednesday hit. Wednesday is my bad.
Yeah. Oof.
And it's so interesting, I think, in that like this kind of... I mean, I describe it as a complete meltdown, basically breaking every single rule, revenge trading,
mm-hmm,
trying something that just kept not working and just kept increasing size, trying it again and again and again. It's going to work eventually.
By the time
it does work, it doesn't matter. Yeah. You made 15 points, but you lost 50 trying to get to that point.
Yeah.
But that wasn't even the ugly. The ugly happened the same day, Wednesday, after the FOMC, and then it just completely went off the rails, and it was just clicking madly, and that was it.
Oh, no.
When I take a step back, like, at first I was kind of disappointed with myself, but at the same time, like, I felt like it felt good. It felt good to get this release out. Like, I felt like I'd been bucking against these rules for so long that I've been enforcing on myself that I finally just threw the shackles off and just fucking went hog wild.
You did it.
And like I was aware of it happening in real time. Like I know I'm breaking everything. I'm melting down. I'm losing control. But it just felt so good to do it. It was such a strange feeling.
You've been learning to race a race car, and you've been afraid of wrecking the whole time, and you finally got a crash, and then you survived, and then you're like, oh, okay. Now I don't need to be totally scared of crashing. Now I'll survive. I can get past that.
Yeah, exactly. And the funny thing too is like, yeah, I'm making it sound more dramatic than it really was. Like I've lost more trading options, like on single positions, like 10 times more
than
what I actually lost on the day. Yeah. So it's not like it was like that big of a disaster, but it was, but not monetarily, more just mentally and emotionally. But there is good coming out of it, like you said, like you coming up with a new plan, doing steps to improve your own mental state in order to continue doing this. I kind of did something similar. I went through, I completely revamped my journal, took myself out of trading for Thursday and Friday as far as futures mm-hmm. go, because, you know, there has to be consequences when you fuck up. So staring and watching at all these juicy opportunities and trying a couple of them on sim, making, you know, ridiculous profits on those where like, hey, could have been trading that if you didn't fucked up.
Yeah, but if you follow your goddamn rules.
Like, hopefully that drives that lesson home. Yeah, turning this into a learning opportunity, seeing what kind of went wrong, getting me to that position, and then now I can try to take steps to mitigate that risk going forward. And I think some of it is just, you know, watching it too long. You just can't stare at the screen as long.
Yeah.
8 hours a day, 5 days a week. Just can't do it.
Well, all right.
Yeah, very interesting start of the year.
Yeah, I'm fortunate that because my ugly is obviously I did the same things, only I stretched it out over 3 or 4 days. You know, mm-hmm. It wasn't one blowout; it was like a slow meltdown. Right there with you. And in many ways, kind of glad that I was able to do it. It's like you said, I realized when you mentioned it, like I've also lost more playing options than I lost blew out on that futures account.
Yeah.
Easy.
It is nice to have it out of the way too. Cause I've kind of, it almost feels like something like this is an inevitable trying to learn
as a rookie, right?
Yes. It's almost like a rite of passage and I feel like I've passed it.
All right. Sweet.
Like, okay. We've done that. Check that off the list. Now we can move forward.
Yeah.
Now I don't have to be afraid of it anymore.
I crashed the car. Now give me another one so I can not crash that one.
We also crashed a beater, not the expensive.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Dad's a, you know, Sunday Corvette that he drives.
Right. I just crashed my older sister's beat up Datsun.
Yes, exactly.
Anyway.
All right.
What are these bet consequences? I didn't get to stew with them. I don't even know if it's a choice.
No, there's no choice. No choice.
Okay. It's going to be great. Great.
Have you ever heard of the movie The Room?
Yes.
Can you give a quick description for the listeners who maybe haven't?
The Room is an independent film made by a madman. No, he's not a madman. Some rich dude was like, I want to make a movie. He's got some weird, indistinct foreign accent. He made a movie, and it's epically bad.
I think he took out billboards in L.A. trying to get it like nominated for like Oscars.
Yeah, no, he pulled out all the stops. Like, he was a successful businessman, and he ended up with proper real estate and had money to just burn on whatever he felt like burning it on. And this was it. Like, is this film?
Now, I used to listen to Jim and Sam when I had Sirius XM radio, and they used to talk about, or Sam at least used to talk about this movie all the time. And I've been wanting to watch it, but I don't think it's something I could watch by myself. Mm. So your consequence is that you're going to have to watch this movie with me.
No. I tried to watch it before, Kyle. I know. Shit.
I'm thinking maybe we turn this into a watch party.
Oh, God.
And for anybody thinking this might be a consequence for me, I can stop anytime. I can tap out anytime I want to.
Oh, yeah.
Dan, you cannot.
Oh, wait. So then you're just watching me watch it?
If it's really that bad and I can't do it.
Oh, that's sadistic.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Oh, fuck.
I think we should turn this one into an event, too. Anybody else who wants to watch it with us, feel free. We'll put some links in the Discord.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, why not? Misery loves company. I've tried to watch this film, Kyle. It is unwatchable. Let me bargain. I'm in denial. Let me bargain.
No bargaining.
I'll watch Jersey Shore.
Nope.
God damn it. Oh, fine.
should we actually pick some bets now?
Okay, yeah.
Or make some bet picks.
Make some bet picks. Stocks, pharma, in the center of a universe. That's for every one of us. Consequence for one of us. Make our picks with no regret. Open every close, every spread, it's the mighty bed. I get to go first, and surprise, surprise, I'm betting ACI Albertsons.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I didn't see that coming.
No, not at all. I got my stop at $29 is so far down there. Let's put the stop at 30 even.
Okay. Take profit.
I will sell half if it gets to $33.50.
Obviously, I was going to go with Bristol Myers, but now I'm actually looking at Campbell's, and I kind of want to go with that.
Oh, CBB. Yeah.
I don't like the way it was rejected off of 46 yet. I think it might retrace a little bit before it does take off. So maybe I will stick with my guns and go with BMY.
BMY.
At least BMY, I have a spot where I can put my stop loss and flip short if it drops below.
Right.
Which I'm going to say is 60.5.
60.5. Stop for BMY.
Stop and flip short. Take profit will be at, let's say, half at 66. Since I always set it too high, might as well try it sooner.
I also want my flip short, my stop to be a flip short.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like that.
All right. Take profit 66. What about our illustrious random? Do we have any user submitted entries?
Maybe we should just go with Campbell Soup.
Fuck. Okay.
Give that to VRAN.
All right. There we go. God damn it. But that's.
Let's do it.
That looks hard. Somebody's winning. All right. Where would you put the stops for that?
For Campbell's?
You're just going to let it go.
Well, random doesn't get to pick stops. Random is just buying them prey. Oh,
okay. All right. Yeah. Fuck you, random.
This is already hard enough, Dan. I'm not giving random any more edge.
Good call. Okay. All right. Well, thanks for sticking around to the end, folks. We love you so very, very much. I know how to speak with words with my mouth. We love you all so very much. We'll be back at it next. Well, we're going to be seeing you soon for that. Don't miss that. To James, Justin Bieber episode. No. Did we talk to Justin Bieber?
No, Jared Bibler.
way off. Yeah, we'll be back here with that Jared Bibler episode soon, and then we'll find out who starts to win the first bet of 2022. Stay tuned to next week, folks. Until then, happy trades.
Goodbye. Thanks for joining us. You can find us off air at twobullsinachinashop.com. That's the number 2bullsinachinashop.com. Make sure you check us out. Download us on any streaming network. Blah, 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 blah. You know what to do. Rate, subscribe.
Two Bulls in a China Shop is an entertainment program, and all thoughts and opinions expressed in the show belong to the hosts and not of any company. They are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual or on any specific security or investment product. It is only intended to provide entertainment about stocks and the financial industry of trading. If you make trades based on what you hear in this show, you assume all risks for those trades.